Good morning. Good morning. How are you this fine morning, Clark?
I'm doing all right. I think you said I was a little spicy, so.
Yeah, he is a little spicy this morning, and I absolutely love it. I love the pre-show. It's a good 15 minutes where we get to know each other. I shouldn't say get to know each other. You, I know, right? But if it's someone new, I get to know them. But we get to like sort of rewarm up and like, how's life? What are you up to? And you have a lot of life and a lot of cool stuff going on. And also a lot of really, for me, selfishly and many others, sad stuff that has been going on. So before we dive into all of that on the 99 Dev Problem Show, I would love to have you introduce yourself to folks who might not know you, and then we can talk about my sadness and otherwise.
So Clark Sell, I guess I call myself a practitioner, but I own two companies, one called That Conference and another one called Unspecified. That doesn't really mean much of anything because companies are just legal structures. They're nothing sexy, so whatever. But I kind of exist in the place of connecting developers and trying to help them find their impact in life. But also, I'm an engineer, so I'm doing freelancing, and we're getting ready to try to launch a product or build a product. And so, a little bit in too many places, sort of at the bottom of the bottom of life, trying to build back up. And here we are on the internets.
Yeah. Earlier in your career, you worked at some pretty big companies. Do you mind sharing a couple kind of
I worked at a
tidbits of your
few.
journey? Yeah.
Yeah, I started back in the day, so that would be like 1998. Back in that other century where we had to like ride horses to work. I started in insurance at a company called Allstate. I was part of the year 2000, which I love people today who are like, "Oh, that never was a thing." And I'm like, "Yeah, that was a fucking thing. It was a big thing. It was a big problem."
It was.
I got some funny stories that I did, but I was a tester. I quickly moved on to the kind of dot-com team and was part of Allstate.com. And then I was part of their financial group. Really worked in the .NET enterprise space. I was part of the .NET 1.0 like beta release team. If you really hunt around, you can find what would they be called? Not news clips, but like we were part of their whole launch, so media team and all that. So
That's cool.
yeah, Grandpa Clark, you said it, Alec.
Oh,
So
come
yeah, so I was
on, come
part of
on.
that whole thing, part of the architecture group, did some big stuff there. That led to me going to Microsoft. I started in their fintech side of things as a consultant. I did about 4 or 5 years in consulting. Then I actually launched a product there. I was part of kind of a dev div kind of hybrid team. Dev div is the whole Visual Studio group. Sort of bounced around, did some what we would call today advocacy work. That's not what we called it back then. So I spoke kind of all over the nation and, was on quote
Heck
unquote
yeah.
TV and all the shit.
Ooh, quote
Finished
unquote.
my term there working with kind of like I came in, worked for the product group and worked with the like top Fortune 50, Fortune 100 customers doing sort of mobile and whatnot. Then I just couldn't
Very
take the
cool.
rat race. So that was about 9 years. I couldn't take the rat race. So I went and worked for a company called Telerik. I was a, I don't know, product manager, director, whatnot. I had some products that you would know underneath my wing. My job was really to just make sure everybody was unfucked and did their jobs, and then we got acquired. And that was sort of weird. So kind of all along the side, we'd started a company called That Conference and was building up that event. And
Literally.
when we yeah literally when we spun off from Telerik, me and another gentleman, and then my wife joined us. We spun off a product that we called Tangible, If you know what Heroku is, we competed against them. We had a product called Modulus. Well, it had to get renamed for some legal reasons. Well, we burned that fucker into the ground. Like it was a, it was sort of a Hail Mary. And there's lots there, but we had that for about a year.
I was going to say that's a good layer, but yeah.
That's just a whole nother story. But I think at the time we were hosting something like 30,000 websites and all over the globe. Wow. I mean, it was a pretty legit product.
How did I not know about that part?
Because I was too busy working my ass off.
Valid.
Because nobody pays attention to me as like the engineer. Everybody paid attention as me, the DAC conference event planner. And they think that my whole existence is I just do events. They don't realize I have like a day jobs, right? And things that have to happen. So when we were running Tangible, we had six people on staff. Or maybe there were six of us total. Jeremiah. Wow. I think we had three full time, plus the three of us and maybe one contractor. At that time, it also started a company called Unspecified, which really meant I just went to LegalZoom and said, I really want this name. And then when Tangible collapsed, I started doing freelancing. And all that stuff was that and TC were sort of building up. And things were going pretty well until the pandemic. And then, I don't know, then it all got fucked and got weird. And here we are today. TC's in a weird space, and Unspecified, we're now on the build back up again, trying to figure out which, I mean, it doesn't really mean anything because whatever product we build will probably be under a new entity anyway. So company wise, like whatever, they're just structures, but yeah, product people, that's sort of where I exist. Try to make people awesome, connect them, seem to be really good at, I think I have a weird place where I can get people to be vulnerable and kind of come out and connect and talk and whatnot. And I don't know how to turn that into something that puts bread on the table. So I'm trying to figure out how do I take the superpower that I don't quite understand and make it, scale it. So, So I started a site called From Code to Clarity and, you know, whatever. We're just like figuring it the fuck out. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, well, doing little bit of a lot of things.
You are doing a little bit of a lot of things. I want to tap into a lot of different things. I'm going to come back to the sadness and that conference and that sort, literally that. But to tap in, I mean, obviously you're in a space of like sort of reestablishing yourself and like reshaping what the life that you want for yourself by force, which is never fun. I'm semi doing the same over here and it's a painful process. I think it pushes us to our absolute limits, truly our absolute limits. But I do think that there is also some beauty in seeing your limits. And in that way, but what I wanted to share is that, you know, and how you sort of presented that, you very much, you know, had a connotation that was like, you didn't know what you were doing, but, you know, if I can sort of just like come back around to, you know, how you were sharing that, I think you have so many amazing life lessons that a lot of people could never, ever gain that level of knowledge that you have by doing. And I love when you and I get on a conversation, like you've helped me in my business so many times, like in pivotal moments as well, like really important decisions and things that shaped in a beautiful direction. And so I just want to call out and say like, yes, life is in a real hard space, but also I want to personally share that you've done a lot to like change my life. And I think your experience is just such a, like, it's beautiful. Right. And I think Code to Clarity, that's correct me if that's wrong, right? Okay, perfect. Yep. I didn't want to get that wrong. I think is a beautiful space where you're going to be able to continue to do that for others. And like, I am really, really looking forward to that. So to sort of reframe from a, you've done a lot of stuff and you feel like maybe you've had a lot of experience, I think there's just so much that you can share and help others with. So anyways, I'm digressing on that, but.
No, I appreciate the kind words because I don't know how to frame it or say it. And yet, like you and I and others, like we get on these calls and something comes out that wasn't anticipated in the first place. Right.
Yeah.
And, magic. I remember the one, I remember the day talking to you, and when the light bulb went off, it was like, yes. Right. This is a fun moment. Right. I think it was good. And you're in a hard, I mean, we're both in hard spots, right? Owning a business is not for everybody by any stretch. And you get the more public you are, the more there, the more you get, you'll just get pushed, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody sees the conference and they say, oh, it's all great and this and that, but you didn't see the 4 years of hate email because I was trying to get people together, or the executive from Apple who told me I was killing people. And like, there's like all kinds of like things that people don't see, like putting food on it, payroll and right. Mm-hmm. Like all the other stuff. So I get it. It's hard.
It
doesn't get any easier, right? You're going to get better and then you get more. The worst part is you get more knowledgeable and then you're like, fuck, now I know that I don't know. Right. At least when I started like TC, like it was great because I didn't know what I was doing. Right. It's blissfully ignorant. So you're like, it's great. Like, of course I'm doing the right thing. You're like, I'm not doing any of the right thing.
Yeah.
But that leads you in a place where you break societal norms. You break, like, we didn't fit the norm of a conference of this and that. Like, we did things that for us made sense, but for an industry, they didn't. Yep. And that's what innovation is all about. So
that's how you were like different though, right? That was like your value proposition. Mm-hmm. Is like, you got a different event, like, so kind of coming around to sort of like why I was sad. And what I shared earlier is like, that conference is my absolute favorite conference for developers or in the technological space. My second favorite is Cabo Press, which is a business conference. And so unrelated to this, but, and Clark, I mean, I'll let you speak to it obviously, but had to put the hard news out that discontinuing the event. So you know what? You just speak to it.
It's different today. People are different. I got 15 years into that conference, but I probably have 20 into event planning. We used to run an event in Texas, actually in Austin. We did code camps and whatnot. There's three types of events for me. There's like your just raw organic meetups, those types of things. I'll put them at the bottom. I don't mean that by like level of importance. Just I'm putting them at the bottom in terms of dollar wise, right? Maybe mm-hmm. they're a $5,000 a year type of thing. Sure. And then you have, and then of course code camps, some of them are in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, but you naturally would have a code camp or a hackathon or something that kind of was above that. And then you have what I would call us is like this super conference, the independent producer who, has a day job, but these conferences turned into many hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars to execute. And then on top of that, you've got your what I will call money losers, the Microsofts and AWSs and whatnot, where the people are the product, right? AWS is, their bottom for reInvent, their bottom sponsorship package is $80,000, right? Like, they're playing at a league that's completely different than all of us, and they have different motive and there's different reasons to go to all those things. I think the biggest problem with the people in the middle, the independent producer, is you're just kind of squeezed from all directions, right? You need to have the right number of people attend to attract the right number of sponsors to attract that help pay for the space. So like we tried to have a premium experience at a cost that was, you know, not a, a premium cost, but the shit costs money, right?
Yeah.
You know, you get, you know, in 2019, we had 1,800 people. We consumed 275,000 square feet of, you know, event space. Food was $400,000. Like, I mean, it's just like
that's a lot. Yeah.
A staggering amount of things that kind of go into that. And, you know, obviously all the planning and, you know, we did things different than other people's, but I just say all that to say there's, you know, think of a stool. It's got four legs. You cut one leg short, stool falls over. So if I can't get the sponsors and I can't get this and I can't get that, or I can't get enough, which is really what it is, then other things have, something has to change. And whether that's like you change the food or you change the venue or you change this, ultimately that ends up, and this is where we ended up, it's like if we change, what we are is not what we were. So I can't really say like, if I'm going to take that conference and I'm going to do it, say, in October at a different venue, well, it's probably not a family event anymore because there's not really any place for the kids to go do something. It's probably not this, that, or the other because that's just not what we were for 15 years.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to start the fuck over, what would I do today?
Yes, like, yes.
Why would I try to repeat the same format that just failed? And it's not that the events were great. The events were fantastic. But they weren't fantastic enough. But it wasn't enough, right? It wasn't enough that I had to take out a loan. I had to pay for it. I have a loan to pay for, right? There wasn't enough. There wasn't enough. And at the end of the day, that means I had to pay for it. And that's, I mean, I'm obviously there's deep wounds there that have to be dealt with. But I'm not some, you know, freaking Silicon Valley VC, whatever. Like this has been my, like, we make all this shit. Like I don't, there's not people to do that stuff. So, you know, it just wasn't working. And I, some of it is people based, meaning they just, they're learning different. Some of it is I don't want to say societal shift, but the fact that people were locked up in their house and they kind of got out and they're not really good at communicating now and they're lonely and they don't know how to jump into a crowd and they're not going to work. So they don't hear about the thing and their companies aren't paying for it because educational budgets are down. Like the list goes on and on. Like we didn't die because there was one thing. We had to shutter because of many factors that just pointed to, you just have to refactor. And what does that refactoring look like? I don't know. You know, I've got it on the irony right now is I have it on really good authority that a lot of sponsors are doing things like, I'm only going to sponsor events on the coasts, only if they're AI, only if they're this. And that was part of why we did TC in the first place, was to say, there's nothing here in the Midwest. Like you guys are flying over the fucking great shit that happens. So I'm going to put us on the map.
Yeah.
And we did. Not that there's not other, depends how you want to define the Midwest. I'm saying upper Midwest.
Of course.
Yeah. Not to diminish. I don't want anything that I'm saying to diminish things as KCDC or Code Mash or StirTrek or, you know, any of those who are like me, and I worry for all of them as well. You know, so there's a whole bunch of shit. And so then you just have to step back and say, okay, I mean, I got into this not to create an event. Like that's the worst part of the whole gig. I got into it to connect people and to build a community of people who want to help each other grow, make money, feel good about the impact that they have in life. I could argue I don't need an event for that. Like,
yeah,
I don't, Carrie and I spend 5,000 hours a year planning that conference. Like, right. It's a full-time job for two people. I didn't get paid.
Yeah.
I was working two fucking jobs.
So you could keep doing it, honestly, too.
Yeah. I mean, like there's a cost to it. And, and when I see developers get like, I'm not going to spend any money on that tool. It's like, well, hey, why don't you support the motherfucker who's been writing his ass off and who's making it easy for your job, but you don't want to throw him a cup of coffee or her a cup of coffee? Like, come on. Like what? Like, really? Like, that's the thing. You can't reach into the fact that you make 150 grand a year and you can't reach in and pull out 10 bucks to give that person who's banging away at night to give you the tool to do the thing. Come on. Come on. Really? But it happens too much.
There's a lot to that. Honestly, it does. And it happens with sort of like everything too. Like, you know, like you and I talked about in pre-show, like it also means that like there's no self-investment, right? Like there's an opportunity to sort of self-invest and say, hey, okay, my company isn't providing that continuing education stipend, but I still need it. I still have these different needs, right? Like you still have to go out and do it. I think what I think is just kind of interesting also when you think about this kind of persona and sort of demographic, right? Is like, I think about my non big tech days, like before I got into big tech, I was in business management in like the hospitality space, right? So in the restaurants and the venues where people are hosting events, you know, and coming from that space, like, and then coming into technology, just the level of like waste and sort of lack of efficiency in sort of big tech in general, it's just so crystal clear to me looking back. And it's interesting that there's just this huge economical like influx or like sort of disaster, if you think about it, right? Other industries like invest in continuing education because they're making the right decisions so that they can invest in their people correctly. They do have daycares on staff. Like General Mills had a daycare there. They had a restaurant. They had a doctor's office. They had a chiropractor, like tons of stuff, right? Because like they were a big company and they knew they had to take care of people. And it's like big tech and sort of anyone that gets kind of folded into that, what I'm kind of an economical disaster when you think about it, really just, I think, sort of starts to misinterpret where investments should be made. I don't know if that makes any sense, but.
It does. And, you know, Ross pointed out developers have been getting shit for free. And you know, I would tell people this. You can either make a choice to be the product or support the person who is offering the thing. And if you're going to be the product, that means your data is going to get sold. That means you're going to get marketed to. That means all of that shit, right? And for me, like we were very adamant that the people were not the product. We were.
Yeah.
And you could... That was the gig. You knew that I wasn't going to sell your shit. You knew that I wasn't, you knew that I was going to do right by you. Mm-hmm. But
which is key for developers. Key.
Not if they don't want to pay.
Well, I get that. Yeah.
Right. Like that's where that's the economical disaster, right? You're like, you want a filet at breakfast in a resort that's feeding 1,000 people. But like, it's just not physically possible. Like,
yeah,
it's not going to be, you know, like Dicka's Steakhouse because it just, there's 1,000 of them that need to come out. Right. So let's be realistic. I think people aren't, they're not investing in themselves. And I know we said this before. I don't know if I said it now. I mean, this feels like the dot-com boom. Mm-hmm. And so you're either going to need to, I mean, anybody who's listening to this, if you're not investing in yourself right now as to how the world's going to be in 5 years, you're fucked. You're fucked. It's going to be different.
There's definitely a lot of weight to that. Yeah.
Yeah. If you think writing your next login component in React is that's the thing, go check out V0. Like, we're not going to need that.
Yeah.
You know, why do you have this 8-pound brain on top of you? Like, it's to solve problems and make money and things that computers can't do. It's important, right? Coding skills are great. you still need those, but
yeah,
you know, the repetitive just shit over and over and over again like that. Look, our jobs will be different. Mm-hmm. So just like internet changed the world, we got, if you look at that history line, you know, we, the .com, we were going to sell dog treats to everybody and big NFL commercials and blah, blah, blah. And then it all came crashing down. And then we figured out how to use the internet. And now we have this interconnected world that we can't fathom it would have ever gotten here. And AI has been around for a long time. It's nothing new. And we're on to come up and everybody's like, oh, this is going to be great. And China yesterday releases Deep Secret or whatever thing they did. And NVIDIA is crashing and blah, blah, blah. And right, we're going to go up on this curve and everything's going to crash again. And then we're going to start climbing and the world we'll live in, it will not, it just will not look the same.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. I think it's exciting. Great. I don't want to write another login screen. Like, who gives a shit? Like, that's not my value, right? There's no value in that shit.
That, so when it comes to that kind of stuff, so here's the thing, and I'm curious how you see this. Like, I absolutely love Legos. This is totally a side tangent, but it's really not. So I love Legos, but I cannot sit and do a Lego set that has instructions. Most developers talk about how much they love Legos. And I'm like, wait, am I a freak of nature because I can't follow instructions? So I'm curious, because here's where I think this is exciting. As you're talking about sort of a login screen, I feel like that's the Legos with instructions, right? Like, here's the thing that you're going to build. You're going to get this perfectly done thing. It's all the guide is here for you. Here's what you do. When I'm like, no, give me the bucket of Legos so I can create from nothing.
No, I'm going to take it even a step further. The login screen is just a brick.
Oh, it's the brick that's already made and it doesn't even, I mean, definitely. Oh, that's a whole nother way of thinking about it, right? Because all those bricks come together and it's not difficult to just stack normal bricks on top of each other. What's difficult is the culmination of the big picture.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. It's like the canvas, right? You can go get all the paint and whatnot, but you got to paint something on it. And
yeah,
and I'm picking on the login screen. Like, we all have them, but it's not of any real consequential value, right? We don't need to keep building that over and over again. And there are obviously plenty of companies, and Auth0 and Okta and whatever. I don't know. There's too many of them. Who had them all, right? And we make them look different and we pretend like we wrote it, but we didn't. But the reality is we have to get the backlog done.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. The backlog keeps getting bigger and bigger. The reality is we have to make money in a digital age that we're in. The industrial age is over. Yeah. Like, you are in a whole nother way of doing work. You're at a whole nother way of exchanging information. You're arguably, you could say that the UI that we have is sort of pointless. Are we going to start writing UIs for AI? Like, what does the human aspect, if you just interact with, you know, a freaking AI assistant, will you ever go to the web again to go browse around? I don't know.
Probably not.
Like, maybe not. Like, who would have thought big media would have, or big news would have died, but nobody wants to do that. Who would have thought the weatherman or weather girl would have ever, like, when I grew up, that was a big old deal, right? Now I just go to my iPhone and I go, look, I got the 5 days. I don't care.
Yeah.
I can just speak it out and it comes. So I think it's just going to be different. And I don't think it's bad. I think it's great. But we have to, like, why do we exist to solve what problem? Right.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, there was, I've had a couple of folks on the show and we had a live stream that we did in the end of December and it was over Christmas break sort of time, right? So some folks were really checked out. So it was pretty lightly attended, but we had a really good conversation about how we can be more productive as developers with AI. But then on the flip the script side of it, essentially there was a great conversation. It was like, it's going to take your jobs. And then sort of the diverse conversation of if it's going to take your jobs. And I think what was interesting that came out of that. David Beal, actually, to quote, made a comment. He's like, it is going to take your jobs. And I was like, oh, feisty opinion, you know? And it, but like, he spoke to like how important it is to be creative, to have like this creative thinking, to be a human, right? And to have your artistic outlets in music or painting or whatever that looks like for you, right? I love shooting archery. Like, so, you know, just whatever that artistic outlet is, like being even more honed into a lot of those activities and crafts and capabilities, because then that's going to speak into more of that creative side of like you're taking and bringing things that a computer can build, but it needs you as that human creative layer. I presume you think similarly, but would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, AI is going to take your job. But like anything, no different than the car took the horse, but people still ride horses.
So true. So true.
Right? Like, yeah. It just means that we get to accomplish bigger things that we haven't had a chance to get to. It also means that people like me, like right now I have no staff. I use AI all fucking day long.
Same here. So I have to.
It also means that the next person I hire isn't to do what that's doing. Mm-hmm. Like I want that person to have business impact and whatnot and mm-hmm. whatnot. So there's like, it's just a shift. You know, people often don't value themselves enough. You know, it doesn't matter. Nothing that we say today means shit. Other than to know that it's going to be different, right? Yeah. Because none of us know where it's going to lead. Three yep. days ago, everybody thought OpenAI was, you know, that's the sliced bread. And then, you know, the Chinese release, whatever. Like, whatever. Like, great. Great. Bring it on. Cool. Yeah. More competition. Something will come from it. But it just won't, you know, if somebody's sitting there thinking like, you know, I can just keep doing the same thing. I would just argue, think about what your value is and what you bring. And I think Keith said in here, login pages don't earn raises. Yeah. Nobody cares. It's just like, it's just part of it.
Good comment. I miss that one. I think what is interesting about it too, is like you were just speaking to, so there's been sort of this like theme, right? Of like, okay, if this is where things are going, you know, harnessing your inner self, but there's a lot of what I think is like self-hate right now. And hate is a really strong word, but, I think, you know, like I can speak to it personally. Like admittedly last year I was like, I felt that the right decision was to be in the weeds, deep in my business, crafting, understanding, working directly with clients, revising, iterating, and making that a perfected offering so that, you know, the next year, now this year, I would just be like, boom, I've had this perfect offering, right? Well, it turns out if you do that, you don't get clients. And if you don't get clients, you don't pay bills. And then you get to a space where you're like, well, guess what? Perfecting my offering wasn't exactly what I should have been doing.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to let you go.
I believe I probably told you that as well.
Oh, no, we had many conversations. And I knew this, many failures, right? This wasn't just a one failure. So I think it's hard until you're in it and you get it. But yeah.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's that you had to earn that scar, right?
Valid.
You need the scar so that the next time something comes up, you're like, ah, fuck, I need to validate faster, exchange money faster, because money is validation of a thing, right? Yep. I can say that the TC events were fan-fucking-tastic. They were great. But you know what? The money did not validate that that was the case. Otherwise, more would have sold.
That's true. Right?
Sit there and they'll tell me, and I don't mean to be like disparaging of what people have said. A lot of nice things have been said. The thing is, not enough were, right? We've saw tens of thousands of people over the years, right? Yeah. Like the money is ultimately what showed its value, and it was not valuable enough, right? For it to exist. Now, and of course there's slices through that, but you needed the scar and
mm-hmm. it's there.
And like I got a scar for having to shutter a business and take on a business loan and all that. Like that's a scar that you ask every entrepreneur or business owner. They all have those. Everybody's got a closet of failures.
Yeah.
And I you know, I got to build mine up too.
Yeah.
Will you put Zach's comment back up there? Cause I think it, think that's actually a, I think it's a super important point. I really agree that the architect will survive. Not only that, I think that role has been shit on the past 5 to 10 years, and devalued as to what it takes to build a system and what it means and why it's important, because everybody got in a loop of like, I can just do a thing and deploy it and I don't need all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And you could
be, frameworks and the point tools
earlier, right? You could be wasteful because it was cheap.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, okay, so whatever. I just spin up another, you know, Versal thing and it does it because it's only this and that. And it's like, yeah, until it matters, right?
Exactly.
I don't know how many customers I've walked in. I was like, what's your bill every month? Thousands? Oh, great, because mine's 30. Like mine's 75. Like,
because that's the most valuable skill set in today's AI world.
Yeah, like I knew how to build the system so that it wasn't like the costs weren't spinning out of control. And I still served, like, am I serving millions a month? No, but I still served 30,000 uniques a month. Like it wasn't like it was three, it was tens of thousands. It wasn't costing me, you know, an arm and a leg to do that. So I agree. I just, it's an important point for those who are listening. I think it's a big deal.
I agree. Well, you and I talked about in the pre-show, right? We were talking about understanding systems versus being a framework developer where you just bring all the different frameworks together and you're connecting pieces, you know, like there's a skill for, I mean, that's, it's a skill that is necessary, right? But it's like looking at AI, it's a skill that can be done by a computer, and like telling the computer how to, you know, actually create something based on human creative knowledge, right? Is the value. Yeah.
Yeah. For those front end folks that have been, haven't been paying attention to CSS, probably be a real good time to learn that one, myself included. like that's a thing that the AI, right, isn't really going to be able to do until you can draw a picture and say, hey, make this pretty picture, right?
Oh my gosh. I'm wanted again. I'm like the CSS master. I'm just kidding. I used to be so, man, that but used to be like my jam because I loved it.
But that's the example of where the creative piece comes in. Like you can write the login screen, who gives a shit, but I gotta, you know, I've got to sprinkle my lovely bits on top of it. So,
yeah. And I think humans will become even more demanding if anything, right? Because we're given everything. And so then we're going to be used to sort of this age of like seeing prompts and seeing boxes and seeing whatever. So anything that is outside of that aesthetically is going to be very appealing to us. Admittedly, like I have been on a phone hiatus and that I took everything that is work related and social media related and doom scrolling possible off of my phone. And my screen time, I think yesterday it was literally 30 minutes. And I am just living the best life ever. I'm spending time with my kids. My toddler's happier. My big kids are happier. They're around, coming back around their parents more. I'm like, huh, there's something here. This evil little device that like has made everything so available is like almost something that I now demise, you know? It's just.
Yeah, I checked out. I sort of checked out of social media a few months ago. I mean, when I knew I had to make this announcement, unfortunately, like I started the YouTube channel and then all this other shit just took, it just kept consuming more and more like headspace. But come the end of the year, we did the same. I've been doing the same kind of thing, like getting everything off of the phone. I would really actually love to have just two phones. A social media phone, because I can't really not do social media. Like that's sort of part of the business.
It's painful on desktop. That's the problem.
Yep. But I also don't want it on my phone. So yeah, the way I've solved that problem is I made the watch the second phone. And so I try not to have the phone around. I'm trying to keep it like in the other room, especially, I mean, I'm in the Apple ecosystem, so I can, I don't know, what is it called? Screen mirror into my phone if I need to.
Yeah.
But like my watch is dialed in. Like there's no, it's messages. It's, yeah, you know, there's no notifications. Like it's, if I need to get a hold of somebody, I can make a phone call. Like it's on lock. But yeah, I want to create, I don't want to consume. And
exactly
that little slab of glass will just take you into consume mode and melt your fucking time away. Mm-hmm. So
it's really interesting if we start thinking about sort of like this, like less consumption, like what does that mean in terms of like we're creating, but we're not consuming, right? Do you think that means we're going to start consuming only the like very direct, tight network around us? Will there be tighter circles, or will consumption just be like, we're just creating because we want to create?
You know what? Back in the olden days, your tight circle was your town, right?
Yeah.
There was right. No, like, I needed to be globally connected to every motherfucker to know that they were taking a shit while watching TikTok. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Right? Like, I can't tell you the amount of dumb shit that is online. You know, and it's, I mean, obviously there's a lot of funny stuff. Like, you can't,
animal videos, you can't deny them.
But you're right. Like, okay, so what if your cadre is 25 people? Right. I mean, if it's the right 25, great. That I don't know. Like my business my business folks, like that's a pretty small knit group. Like I don't know a ton of business owners.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that those relationships are deep. Like real deep.
Valuable.
Right. So I would much rather less deeper than more, I don't know, broader. So, and I honestly, I also think that that's, I think that's part of the problem with the big events. Like there's not really, if you're, the reality is I wanted to grow a community and that meant people, but everybody yep. else thought of it as an event, which meant learning. Mm. So we were at odds with one another, right?
Yeah.
And the learning was supposed to be the thing that got you there. The community was supposed to be the thing that you realized you didn't know you needed once you got there, right? Mm-hmm. And then COVID sort of reset that and said, I don't really need community anymore, which is the irony.
Big fat lie.
You're right, you need it now more than you ever did before. Uh-huh. But so then I just think and go, okay, well, what does an event who is unapologetically that mean? Like who is unapologetically just about people and impact? Well, it ain't some fucking 1,000 person event. Hell no. That's like a 50 to 100 person. That's like a very curated, it's like the Cabo thing you go to. It's a very curated mm-hmm. experience. It's a very drawing lines between people where you can still kind of have the Pac-Man, you know, there's still a piece that's open for others to come in, right? You don't want to be in an echo chamber. Yep. But at the same token, not everybody's in the same place at the same time.
Yep.
So like, you know, if and you're 20... You're looking to learn and grow up and get the mm-hmm. raise. But if you're 40, you're going, what the fuck am I doing with my life right now? Right. If you're 50,
what
you're
have
like,
I done?
I only got, well, if listen, I'm turning 50 this year.
Dude, I'm turning 40 this year.
Okay. So you're going to hit a point. I hit a point. Grandpa Clark's in the house.
You are not a
good time is going to start ticking down and not ticking up.
Yeah.
And that impact, like these things start to change and you start to go, oh, my time is way more important than I thought it was. And I'm not getting any of it back.
Oh,
but it's
that's
true.
The hard part, not getting any of it back. Right. And like,
look, I only got one more summer, arguably two with my daughter before she's in college.
No.
Right. Like.
One you already in have, college, if you don't know Clark.
Right. You only have so many of them, right? I wish uh-huh. somebody would have grabbed me by the collar when I was young and had said, like, listen, I think there's a book called 4,000, is it 4,000 weeks? 7,000 weeks?
I haven't heard of that one.
Oh, it's good. 4,000. Yeah, 4,000 weeks. Here, I'll put it in though.
Yes, please do.
You are on fixed fucking time. So, and this is sort of the stuff that This is some of the stuff that I talk about in like my coaching thing is like, make your shit work for itself. Like it needs to stack. It needs to point together. It needs to fuel your purpose. It may take you 5 or 10 years to get there, but if you're just doing activities that don't have alignment to where you want to go, when you get older, like me, and you didn't, and you have all these things that are kind of like, I'm good across a lot. Look, I mean, I guess the large majority of people start businesses after they're 40. Like it's a very high percentage of people. But you have fixed time, and you have fixed time, less fixed time with your family, your kids, your parents.
People, community, humans. Right,
is an hour on TikTok here? Like, is this a good use of your time? Or I don't know, reading a book or writing a book or taking your kid to the park or going in a workout.
Learning how to milk a cow.
Yeah. I mean, that one arguably, depending upon where you live, might be a little harder.
Come to my house. I'll show you how to milk a cow. It's easy.
Yeah. Some money is great because it allows you to not have to do things like that.
See, like that's where I like see it differently. And that, by the way, cows are way more expensive than going to the grocery store and buying milk. Like milk cows right now are like $4,000 to $5,000. So like, it isn't about that. You like have to truly love what you're doing. But that's the thing is I want that. I want the raw. I want my diet to come from the source that I'm like creating and seeing and raising, you know?
So microwaving a brisket. I'm sitting outside spending 18 hours cooking a piece of meat that is now overpriced, but
Hey, I'll send you some meat. That's what we should do. I'll send you some beef and you can cook it up in the Midwest.
Yeah, go ahead. You send me all the briskets. Turns out cows don't have unlimited briskets. There's only so many of them on a cow.
No, you only get like a good, well, I think I was trying to, on ours, we only got two big chunks of it, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big animal for only two little small pieces of meat.
Yeah.
I
think where this is leading to, though, is I think that, you know, lots and lots and lots of things we've talked about. I'm feeling it. You're feeling it. I think everyone's feeling it, right? Is like we're in this space of like the world is clearly changing and we either evolve and change with it or we fall behind. But at the same time, also in this vein of we need humans. Like, I'm sorry, but we were created as human creatures to be with other humans. That's why like reproduction is so predominant in all of animals, right? It's like it is this creation, it is life. And I think that we have COVID allowed us to think that we didn't need people because we could function that way. But at the end of the day, we couldn't function that way because now we are seeing it, right? We're seeing the repercussions both from humans and from the supply chain to the politically to socially to sort of everywhere. And I think that what is honestly the saddest part about that conference is that we need that conference more than ever this year. Like this is the year and I'm seeing it and the developer curated things are coming to life and they're coming back again and devs are creating meetups again by nature from their peers, right? Two devs are like, let's bring people together because we need to talk again because we did get reset. Someone threw it in the chat. It's like getting reset to 2006. I agree. I wasn't a dev in 2006. I was in hospitality management, but like I reference it to sort of like the mid 2000s, 2010s. Like I remember when dev meetups in around 2015, 2016 were just like fire. Yep. You go there and you met 30 other developers and there was a couple people from companies, but they were cool. They knew what was up. Yeah. They like kept to themselves, shared as they needed to, right? They were devs, whatever.
It was a big piece of how we all learned.
100%.
It was 100%. A big piece of how you navigated the unknown. And that's sort of where we are today in the AI land, right? This is
exactly
whole bunch of unknown. It feels like it feels like the .com. But I think to your point, People just need to be human, and they need to realize that people are carrying a lot of shit. Yep. Some of it is stuff that they don't know that they're carrying. Some of it is people's financial situations. Some of it is their confidence got knocked out because they couldn't have a job for so many months. So a little empathy, right? And a little kindness and a little just like check in on your friends. I get it. Like, people already forgot about that conference. Like, I made the announcement, they swiped on, they moved on. Well, but look, the attention management that we live in today, people are just like, they're on to the next thing, right? Yeah. And, you know, it was a Ferris Bueller quote that was something like, you know, sometimes you got to stop and, I got to find it now. Sometimes you have to stop and, should be asking the AIs. Life moves. Yes. So he was telling, I forget the other guy. Oh, I'm going to have to watch that movie. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you can miss it. And not that Ferris is, you know, the savior of humanity, but, you know.
The quote's accurate.
I don't know. Yeah, like, you know, Ross, who's in here, we put together a little meetup in Madison over the weekend. And, you know, it was... I think the original intent was people would be doing open spaces and kind of talking about technical stuff and whatnot. And really what it turned into is everybody just wanted to talk to one another and get shit off their chest and bitch about work and just see what others were doing and just hang out. And that kind of shows you just like how far away from some normalcy we got. So, yeah. Yeah, Ross, I didn't mean it in any condescending ways. I just meant it in size of people. Like, it was actually the right. We had 20, I think there's 20 folks. I think it was the right size.
That is the right
size for people. That meant everybody had space to, you know, to talk.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Together.
Yeah.
Right. There wasn't nobody, you know, split off into kind of different things. It was like everybody was involved in, was involved in it, which, you know, was good to see.
Yeah. I think that's where meaningful interactions come from, right? So coming back around to you referencing Cavo Press. So for folks to just kind of elaborate on that and like what Clark meant by that is that it is a very curated business event. And so the host invites people. You have to apply. You have to sort of speak to what you do in your business, why you're looking to attend the event. You know, that sort of thing. And then when you do get accepted, there's a curation, like they get to know you, like it's understanding your business, the challenges you're facing, how they can connect you, because it's a curated lunch, right? I've got a group of people I have lunch with every day and we're talking about our businesses throughout the entire week. So it's very much like this, it's an investment, right? It's an investment for me, it's an investment in my business, because I know, and I absolutely know, because many things came from that event as well as a learning experience, is like it changed my business. And these types of events where we can come together in a smaller group.
Can I change what you said?
Yeah, sure.
It changed your mindset.
It did change my mindset. You're right. It changed my mindset, which in turn changed my business.
Which in turn changed more than just your business. There's this whole like flywheel of things that changes around it, right? Your interaction with your family, business. The time you put into it, right? That's why I say it changed up here, which in turn had a cascading effect.
Yeah.
Not to interrupt you. I just didn't want to lose that point.
No, I love that. I'm glad that you did, because you are right. That's exactly what it, and it's far more, there's far more impact than you think when you walk away, right? I walked away thinking that I was like, holy crap, boom, this is what I'm going to do. Here's my future. Here's my strategy. Lots of clarity. But that meant that everything that I understood and how to do that in my business, it meant I can do that in other people's businesses. And I understand how to get more business. And yes, I agree. I agree. Yeah. Long story short, I would love to see a lot more of these events. And I think, you know, obviously we're going to do what we're going to do. But I think there's been, for me, starting this live stream was a realization of something I didn't realize I had. And I was like deeply depressed and didn't realize it because like, I'm not really a depressive type of a person, right? I go, go, go. I get crap done. Yeah. Sometimes life is hard, but that's just a stage and you push through and you get out of it. And I really thought that that's all it was. It was just me in my business, trying to grow a business, just learning all the hard lessons and just being deep in that. When in, at the end of the day, I was so focused in my business that I wasn't really talking to other people. I was talking to you, my business coach, which hire a freaking coach, by the way, such a smart thing. It's like you who also helped coach me and guide me. My business coach I had hired early on, like a few other handful of people, but I was living in isolation and I was freaking sad. I was sad because as soon as I started the live stream on December 16th, around Christmas time, I had had, I don't even know, a week's worth of sessions at that point. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, we should hang up Christmas decorations, which previously I was like, nah, we don't need to do decorations this year. It's fine. Like it just takes up too much time. I was like the Grinch. Anyways, so I think, I know that you're feeling this too. And I think that it's, if I can like give any wisdom to anyone out there who is like worried about AI or trying to look for a job or in the crap, like get with your people. They will figure out the crap with you because odds are you just need to get with your people to get your brain reset so you can deal with the other crap.
Yep. Life is hard.
Okay. Clark, you're doing a lot of stuff and I do have to wrap up soon. Thanks to lovely meetings.
Really could go for another hour. So you schedule round two because we didn't even talk about anything that we said in the pre-show.
Well, we talked about some of it. Okay. What should we fire drill bring up?
They scratched it.
Yeah. That's true.
Fire drill. I don't know. I mean, for those who are listening, I would just, you got into an industry that's ever changing. So get good at learning, have an open mind to how things could be different. I would say just be curious.
Yeah.
Because it's changing. And that means you're going to learn a lot of things that will be pointless. I shouldn't say pointless. You'll learn things that will eventually go away, but they should be foundational in the things that, will help shape just those scars, right? I mean, everybody who was involved in the dot-com boom still has scars of all the things that we did wrong and whatnot. So I don't know. Go subscribe to my From Code to Clarity. Like, go over there and subscribe. I haven't even written a newsletter yet. Like, we just launched it. It's hot garbage. I'm going to completely rewrite it.
But you launched it.
Yeah, I did it.
And it's not hot garbage, by the way. It's good.
I mean, it's there. But you know, if you're looking for help, you know, I do have a one-on-one coaching program. We're going to do some group accountability coaching, curated type things. Not sure how to put the words around that. So if that's something you're interested in, hit me up.
It's necessary.
We'll do something in the TC. I have one idea that I think I need to scratch.
Ooh.
But
do you want to drop any hints? Or are you keeping that close to your heart for now?
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything about it.
Ooh. He's going to leave us hanging, folks.
I know. I'll just tell you that it won't be anything like, it won't be anything like what anybody else is doing.
I want the invite then.
You would have to have one of those too.
Exactly. I figured so. Yeah. All right. We all have to get in Clark's good graces so we get the invite because honestly, like I'll tell you what, these like smaller, intimate, invite sort of curated events where everyone is getting beautifully connected together for their life and career purpose is it's powerful. So if that's maybe a little thing that you're coming towards, I can't wait to see it.
I mean, I don't know how to explain it, and I don't know what it means, and I don't know how to get paid for it. But I guess my superpower is sort of bringing people together and getting people vulnerable to talk about the real shit and connect with one another and create those deep connections and, you know, engineering teams where people aren't assholes to one another, but you're building stuff that you enjoy and the community and a culture around it. And I just need to figure out, what that is and how people, I guess, want to pay me for it. But, I don't know the words to put around any of that.
Yeah. All new ventures.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I love writing code. Like it's fine. What I really love about it is making tools that enable people. So we're going to take some of the tech in TC and, productize it and, sell that, but, or at least try to give it a go, but, I don't think that's the eventual destination of anything. I think it's more on the how do I create impact with people. So
I love that. All right, Code to Clarity, folks, check that out. I'll put that in the show notes as well as the book that Clark mentioned that I got in the private chat. So,
yeah.
Anywhere else the folks can come and go and find you?
I would say right now, just go to fromcodeclarity.com.
Okay.
Go get on the newsletter. More will come on that hot mess. I don't know. You can go find me on the socials or go to the YouTube at Clark Cell or the Clark Cell, whatever. I don't know. If you can't find me in the socials, then you're not really looking very hard. I feel like
you're pretty easy to find.
Right. Like if you can't find me, I mean, come on. Like I'm sort of around. Like
you're around.
May not always say something, but I think you can find this mug.
Yep. Yep. Clark Cell pretty much everywhere, honestly. You're pretty easy to find. I was tagging you this morning in post, so.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, we definitely should chat again. Honestly, we should maybe do like a collab. You can come into the Built for Devs hub because I'm trying to host a bunch of different types of events. Maybe do something around like there's a roundtable feature in there to sort of limit the number of folks that can join and kind of a version of like Clark therapy, maybe, where you can kind of chat about some of this stuff. Cause I know you personally helped me just sort of get off on a personal level, right? It's like, just kind of like stop being so hard on myself and a number of other things I think others could benefit from. So, oh yeah. And Josh has a great comment here. We got a shout out. I think this is a beautiful way to leave. So for anyone on the podcast, if you're listening to just the audio version, Clark, you're an awesome person and you've done a bunch of incredible work for the world. We do not deserve your special brand of wholesome amazingness. I totally would love to just echo that. I think there's so many different ways that you've changed and shaped my life, you know, personally. And I think that that's the case for a lot of other people. I think sometimes it's like you said, we're all just moving. We're moving so fast that, you know, we're like forgetting the people that have mattered and that have like rippled and changed our lives. And, you know, when your dear friends who have benefited from that conference, you know, you don't see them or feel them with all of the big news and things. I think that's hard, right? I think that's hard. It's hard for everyone. Like, I don't want to hear that. Like, yeah. I adore you, you know?
Yeah. So that's going to be hard. The hard thing for me is when, you know, the eventual July comes around and it doesn't happen. And yeah. I mean, every year I get, you know, pictures of somebody wearing their shirt and met somebody. They met somebody in Germany that had the shirt on, like they're walking through the Munich airport and they were like, holy shit. Of course, that shit has never happened to me. It's never once. It's never happened to me. But it's happened to a lot of other people. And we're still going to make a shirt. We're still going to do like I said, it's not over. It's just, we're refactoring. And it's an event. I at the end of the day, like if people think that the event is the community and not the people and their actions inside of it, then I have failed. Like you can still be part of the community and you can still be active and you can still do stuff and we can still do meetups and we can still do all of that stuff. And you still get all of my support. And just because there's not an event in July at a Kalahari doesn't mean that there's not things in the future or this or that. And none of it is reflective of the community, because the community are people and what people do. And I'd like to think that the people who we've, I don't want to say curated, but brought together, embodied what we envision. Like, there wasn't, I mean, there's always an asshole somewhere, but I think we did a pretty good job of, like, you know, having good, wholesome people who did stuff and cared about one another. And that should continue to exist regardless, right? Like, I don't need to be in that exchange yep. for that to happen, right? So
I agree with that. I agree. And like you said, it turned into an event because that's sort of the way that it just kind of brought itself to life, right? When at the end of the day, you're looking to bring people together around a shared right. purpose, essentially. So that doesn't have to be an event. And I think, yeah.
Right. I mean, we could keep going. We have live streams and all that kind of shit. Like, it's
exactly,
it's people's actions, right? If you choose to participate, then you become part of it. If you choose not to, and that's not just our thing. That's anybody's thing. You choose not to, well, then you're not fucking doing it. Like, you're not, you might as well just sign out of that fucking Discord and move on. Like, take the noise away. So,
But I think lesson here is slowing down a little bit in life and consuming what actually matters, right? So investing in ourselves, investing in the conversations and the human interaction that we like deeply, deeply, deeply need right now. I think is the summary of this conversation today.
Amen, sister.
All right. Well, it has been a fabulous show. Thank you all who joined us in the chat and all the amazing things that were said. Terry came in at the last minute there. Glad to see you, Clark, online and in action. I agree. I texted Clark just really quick before we jump off. I texted him this was maybe like a month or two ago. And I don't even remember what I texted. And he came back with the craziest answer. And it wasn't crazy, but it was just different than I'm used to. And I go to my husband and I was like, I think something's wrong with Clark. And I keep texting and I'm like, okay, yeah. And it wasn't necessarily that was something was per se wrong, but I think you and I were both in sort of the depths last year a little bit. And I'm glad to see you out on a live stream too, because it was weird. I was like, did I make him mad? I'm like, what did I do? Did I hurt him? Like, did I not share something I should have shared? Not that you would have ever gotten upset about that. And then I was like, no, shoot, this is not normal Clark behavior. I'm going to keep poking him and checking on him.
Right. We're all human, right?
Yeah. Like, you were being funny in the end of it, but in the beginning I was like,
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, they are the ones who just took the news of TC in January, but Carrie and I have been living it for fucking years. We took on the loan over a year and a half ago, right? I went into AFib because that was the moment where the company went upside down. That's the true story that I didn't fucking tell anybody. It was because of stress. It was because the whole thing was falling apart. And yet I say falling apart. I mean, this is just financial woes, but that's happening. But I have to go on stage and smile and meet the commitments and make sure the sponsors are happy and make sure we sell the tickets, because now the commitment is even more. Right. Because I don't want to say that I can't show the cards, but if for some reason a sponsor thought we weren't going to make it, now sponsors are super hypersensitive. And if anybody's on the line of not making it, they won't sponsor because they're afraid they're going to lose their money. They're not losing their fucking money. There's so many contracts involved and all of that stuff. They're not losing their money. I'm losing my money. And, but you can't I couldn't I had this Superman / Clark Kent thing. We couldn't talk about that. We're getting ready to lay off people and how are we going to do this? And then we had contracts. So there was 6 months of legal shit come this past event that we needed to deal with. And that went on for whatever, ever. So,
yeah. It's a lot.
I mean, people, you know, People also don't ask all the right questions. They don't ask the questions either. They assume. And you go, well, I mean, maybe read a little deeper, you know. Yeah. When other events come to me and say, hey, will you give me your list? I'm like, did you fucking read it? Did you read anything? Like, ooh, fuck you.
That's hard. Oh, that's
especially really when the Titanic didn't fucking sink. Like, are you serious? Like,
yeah.
Swoop in and be like, hey, sell me your people or give them to me. Fuck off. No, it's not how this works, man.
Yeah. And that's not the developer curated channels that all of us want to be hanging out in, honestly, if we're selling emails and things. And of course we go to like conferences and big events knowing some things, right? But like, that's not the events we want to be spending time in. And honestly, in the fragile state that we are in, just coming back to that blog post I was talking about, right, is like, we are in this state of like, we need trustworthy information and we just need the humans that we want to be around so that we can get out of this little cocoon that we have been in. And the humans that we want to be around is like our peers, right? Is like our fellow developers. So it's like going to events like that conference, Commit Your Code, you know, the ones that are curated by the developers themselves are like the really key important events right now.
And my agreement with you, right, the collective you, was that I wouldn't do that to you. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to do it now. Like, why? Like, for what end? Like, what's that going to do? So.
You're good people, Clark.
I am people.
You are.
Sometimes. Hey, I swear too much.
Yeah, that happens. I try not to swear at all ever anymore. It's hard.
I gave up.
It's just honestly who I am. It's a slippery slope for me to letting my emotions get out of control because I'm a very sensitive, emotional person when it comes to sort of anger, you know, sadness. I get to like the depths of the highs and the depths of the lows. And so I try to keep it out of there for that very reason. But digressing from that, gosh, what was I going to say? Dang it. Now I forgot what I was going to say. I don't know. Let's schedule another one of these though, for sure. Cause this conversation could just keep going and going and going and going. So
tell me when.
All right. We'll find
out. Anytime. I'm happy to.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for all who have been listening an additional 10 minutes. This has been lovely. I hope to bring more people together. Clark, you have done an amazing thing. And even though it's hard and there's a lot to all of it, right? There are so many of us who have gotten an immense amount of value out of that conference and the community that you've brought together, both online and in person. And so I'm eternally grateful, even though that doesn't help your pocketbook. I want you to know that my heart is grateful and thankful. Hopefully that means something.
They all help in other ways, right? We're on a new journey now and new things will come. And
exactly.
Maybe
to the future.
Yeah, like chapters, right? Just like that scar you got about ship earlier, right?
Yep.
They're all chapters. They all mean something. I'll figure out what this one means in like 5 more years, but yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully sooner. Okay. Bye, friends. I hope you all have a fabulous Tuesday. And I will see you all tomorrow with Kevin Griffin, actually, who is a friend of both of ours.
Oh, Kevin. This guy, you know, he seems to like, every time I'm on something or whatnot, I'm like right after him or before him, whatnot. So you just tell him I said hi.
I absolutely will tell him you said hi. Okay. Bye, friends.
See ya.